Well, hi there. This is the Sojourner speaking to you from the Sojourner's World Hub, United States of America. And in this session, we're going to be thinking about God's love and your thinking. But before we get into this part of it, I just want to welcome those of you who are listening around the world. Those of you who from Uruguay who are really beginning to come onto the site, we do appreciate you. We enjoy you being there. We're thankful that you are, and we're thankful that we can minister to you. There are other places around the world, but I'll mention you folks at another time. But we do appreciate each of the countries that regularly come on our site and take advantage of the various things that we have there for you. Do come back often, because we have many things that are changed from day to day and week to week. And particularly take the opportunity to be able to see our daily devotional that we put up, and follow the link there so that you can subscribe to that and have that in your email. If you have an email where you are, you can have that delivered right to your email each week. So now, God's love and your thinking. Well, first of all, I want to read a little here to you from Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 31. Now, I'll be reading from the New International Version of the Bible, and then, as many of you have heard me say before, I read from an international version because there are people who speak international English around the world, and this is done in such a way as that everyone will understand the same meaning for the words. So, Genesis 1, beginning in verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds of the air, and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. You know, many times we do not understand or grasp God's love for us. And if we do not understand or grasp God's love for us, then we don't understand what God wants for us. Because we will find ourselves coming from the world's view of everything. And the world's view of everything is a view of lack. But if we draw close to God, then we have the promise that he will draw close to us. And as he draws close to us, we will find that in his love there is always blessing. But we must accept his love. We must be those who accept that he sent Jesus the Christ here for us. And once having done that, then we live in his kingdom. Now remember, what I just read to you from the book of Genesis was before sin entered the world. So in God's kingdom, we can know his desire for us. We can change our thinking in response to his love, because we know that his desire is to bless us, that his desire is for us to be blessed. And as a result, there is no reason for fear. Now, why am I saying that? I'm saying that because at this particular time in history, there are many fearful people. Because people are seeing things happen that they've never seen happen before. They're seeing wars happen in ways that they've never seen before. They're seeing earthquakes happen in ways that they've not really understood before. As I'm doing this broadcast, just yesterday, there was a 3.0 earthquake 34 miles outside of Washington, D.C. in the United States. And I'm sorry, New York, not Washington, but New York City. Just 34 miles outside of New York City, there was an earthquake. Now, people don't think of that. And it was only a 3-point earthquake, but imagine if that had been 34 miles east of where it was. It would have been right in the heart of Manhattan. Might have been a very, very different result. As it was, there were no tall buildings anywhere near it. But that's enough to add to the fear factor in many people's minds. So, what do we do? How do we think then? How do we move our thought processes to being in sync with God's? In other words, that we're thinking the way God wants us to think, rather than the way the world has trained us to think. The only way we can do that is to be familiar with the Word of God through the Scriptures in the Bible, to learn about the Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and what was done there, and how God chose His people, and then how God sent His Son to be the Savior of all mankind, not just His people, but all mankind. To bring peace into the world. You say, well, he didn't do a very good job of bringing peace. That's not the peace he said he'd bring into the world. He said that there would be factions and wars and all sorts of problems because of him. But the peace he brings is the peace that passes all understanding that he places in your heart and my heart, because we know God truly does love us. And we know that when he created mankind, he blessed them. So God started out with a blessing. And then he blessed Abraham. He blessed others. And we can see what happens when God places his blessing on his people. How wonderfully blessed they are. Jesus himself went around blessing people. You say, well, I never heard him say bless. Well, let me tell you, if you're blind and then you can see, you've been blessed. If you're crippled and then you can walk, you've been blessed. If your daughter is lying there in a bed, dead, and he comes to visit and she is alive again, you've been blessed. If your brother has been dead a few days and is in a tomb and Jesus comes and calls him forth and he comes back to life, not only was he blessed, but his whole family and everybody in his community was blessed. When Jesus sat with the woman at the well and talked to her, and she went back into the town, and she told the people that they needed to come out and see him, and then he spent a few days with them, and then they proclaimed that at first they believed because of her report, but now they believe because they've met him. My friends, that's how people will come into the kingdom. They will first believe because of your report. And then they will have a much deeper belief, because they will have encountered the love of God, and they will believe because they have met the Savior. That's the way it works. But God loves you, and Jesus loves you so much that if you look in John chapter 17, listen to this prayer that Jesus prayed for you. Now, he prayed for himself first, and then he prayed for his disciples. And then in verse 20, he says, I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. Now, he's talking about through the message of his disciples, because they were the second group that he prayed for. He prayed for himself, then he prayed for them. Now, he's praying for Actually, they were the first group he played for. Now he's praying for us, you and I. He says, I pray for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. So why would we want to be, why would God want us to be in him and him in us? Very simple. Why have we been left here? So that the world may believe that God the Father sent Jesus the Son. Verse 22 says, I have given them the glory that you gave me. You'll notice there, he didn't say, I have given them the grief that you have gave me. He said, I have not given them the opportunity to die on a cross and suffer. He said, I have given them the glory that you gave me. You see, he died on the cross for us. He did that. And in the doing of it, took away sin from us, from the world, from those who would accept it. And he says that he did that, that he gave us that glory, that we would be one. He says that they may be one as we are one. I in them, and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know. Now, why does he want to see unity? Verse 23 there in John 17. I in them, you in me, may they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Now, this is Jesus' prayer. He's praying. He knows what's about to happen to him. And he's praying for you and I. For those of us who would believe because of what the disciples told. And if you're a believer, you're a believer because of what the disciples told. And it has been handed down and handed down and handed down. It has been brought down then, too, in the written word. They didn't have the written word. You know, the people in the first century church could not, you know, in the first early church, certainly couldn't have turned to the Gospel of John, chapter 17, and read this. Because it hadn't been written yet. They couldn't have turned to Matthew or the book of Luke. They couldn't have turned to those books either. They couldn't have read the book of Acts. They were the book of Acts. The book of Acts was reporting what they experienced. That experience at Pentecost, reported in the book of Acts, this is what they were experiencing. But you see, the glory of God was there because there was a unity in the disciples, now apostles, who were causing people to believe after Pentecost when they went out and you read where they met from house to house, and thousands of people in one day came to be believers. Now let me just take a little aside here for a minute. You know, sometimes people will tell you that all the Jews rejected Jesus. Obviously that's not true. The church started in Jerusalem, and these people were Jews. So that's just not exactly the case. Now, why do I take a moment to tell you that? Because I'm talking about God's love and your thinking. And I'm saying it is so important for you to get into synchronization, into fellowship, into understanding the love of God so you can understand the ways of God. My friends, if the love of God is not in you, you will never understand the ways of God. I'll tell you why. Because you will develop a form of religion that will cause you to be judgmental to other people. You will come up with all sorts of rules God never made. You will start trying to enforce rules that God said that was in the old covenant. You will be so bound up in what you believe is perfect faith and religion that you will not be one with God's people. Now, I'm serious when I say that. We have got to seek God first and His kingdom and His glory, which Jesus clearly said there in chapter 17 that He gave to us. It just did not go to the disciples. It did not die with the apostles. This is not a religion of yesteryear. This is a faith of today. That's what Christianity is. That's what believing in Christ is. It is a faith of today. Faith is an action word. It is a verb. We were talking here just a little bit with those people who are here about that very thing. About belief is one thing, but faith is a different thing, because belief is what you believe. But faith is what you do based on that belief. It's when you step out on it. Now, you must be careful not to do what Satan tried to tempt Jesus to do. He said, now you just step off the top of the temple here, and God will send angels to catch you. You see, and Jesus, and he quoted Scripture. Satan quoted Scripture. Listen to me, my friends. Satan quoted Scripture. This is why you must know Scripture, and you must be able to rightly divide it. Satan quoted Scripture, and what did Jesus do? He quoted Scripture back. He made sure that the Scripture was rightly used. You know, if you've got a dictionary of the English language or any language that the Bible has been printed in, you've got all the words of Scripture in that dictionary. The difference is, what is the order in which the words are placed? And what meaning then do those words have when you're looking at Scripture in concert with one another? In concert with each other, and in concert with the will of God and how God's kingdom functions. This is so very, very important. Remember what I said. Otherwise, you will find yourself nearly doomed by your own thinking to create something that Christ never created, to be something Christ never intended for you to be. But when we step out on faith, we don't step off a skyscraper and say, okay, God. We build the skyscraper in Jesus' name, but we don't step off of it to test God. God has proven himself well. It is not up to us to demand that he prove himself. Oh, he will. How do I know that? Because he said, ask and you'll receive. Now, you know, I'm going to throw in another scripture here from the book of the Revelation. That book where it talks about Jesus standing at the door and knocking. Now, I'm talking to believers right now. If you're an unbeliever, I'm not talking to you right now. Well, now, don't turn this off. I'll get around to you in a minute. But if you're a believer, listen to this very carefully. The angel is talking about a church that was lukewarm. And Jesus is standing at the door knocking. He's not, many times I've heard that used in evangelistic things, you know, to try to bring unbelievers to Christ. Jesus was not standing at the door of the unbeliever knocking, trying to get in. He was standing at the door of people who claimed to be believers knocking, trying to get in. He so much loves you and I that his love has caused him to be very patient with us, even as believers, when we've had the belief but not the faith. His love still wants to encircle us and envelop us and to build us into faithers as well as believers. Now, I know if you look it up, faithers is not in the dictionary, but it's just a word I use. Just like I use the word churchianity, and that's not anywhere either. God is looking for faith. Do you remember when Jesus said, greater faith have I not seen in all Israel? He didn't say greater belief. He said faith. Why? Because a woman reached out in faith. In faith. Because others came to him in faith. Faith is always action. I mean, God even sets up in Malachi the opportunity to test him. If you want to test God, he's given you one way to do it. And that's with your finances. Now you say, now there you go, preacher, you're going to talk about money. No, I'm talking about finances. And he set up a way, and he said, test me in this and see if I will not open the lattice work of heaven and pour out a blessing that you cannot contain. Now, I know that some of you say, well, it doesn't say lattice work. Well, in point of fact, if you look at the original language, that's what it says. It's lattice work of heaven, where it says windows. But then you have to remember, many windows didn't have glass in them at that time. They had lattice work that kept birds out and things of this sort. You know, didn't keep the mosquitoes out, but it kept the birds out. And so he said he would do that. So, hey, listen, if you want to test him, he's told you how to do it. Now, God either tells the truth or he doesn't tell the truth. Now, if someone lies to you, do you think that they're full of love? Probably not. Well, if God is love and he's not a man that he should lie, he is there with you. And if you're a believer, he's there with you because Jesus said that he would be. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, sent Holy Spirit into us. Believers have the same Spirit in them that raised Christ from the dead. Now that is powerful. That is so very powerful. So now, what does this all mean? Where is this all going? What am I saying here? I'm saying that God loves you so much that your thinking needs to be focused on how much he loves you. And that if he loves you, he will never leave you or forsake you. That he will meet your every need. That he will give you the desires of your heart. Why? Because he said he would. Because he loves you. If you're within the sound of my voice and you have children, and they have a need or a desire for something, and that's something that won't be harmful to them, don't you want them to have it? Now, maybe you don't have the wherewithal right now to provide it, to do it. God does, but maybe at the moment it hasn't appeared in your life. But your desire is there. Why? Because you love them. If you love somebody, you just want to do things for them, don't you? Those of you who are men, maybe you saw some lady and you said, oh, that's someone I want. That's the one I want to be my wife. Well, you couldn't do enough. You just couldn't do enough to bless her. And vice versa. Maybe she saw you and she said, now there's the man I want. She couldn't do enough to bless you. God is much greater than even that. If you can think of how much you ever wanted to bless somebody that you love, that is just a fraction of what God wants to do to bless you with the love that he sent through Jesus the Christ. It's a wonderful thing, my friends. Do not let fear have you cowering in a corner somewhere. Let the love of God invade your thinking. Let the Word of God invade your understanding. And then live at peace with Him. That's the peace that Jesus came to bring. The peace that passes all understanding is he reestablished peace. This is why he's the Prince of Peace. Not peace between men, except brothers in Christ and sisters in Christ are supposed to be peace there because the Spirit of God is there. But the peace that he came and established was the peace between God and man again. That's what he restored. He restored what I was reading from in the first chapter of Genesis. He put mankind in charge of everything on this planet, made a wonderful thing for him, made a wonderful place, put him in a garden with all his needs met. That is what God wants for you and I. The problem is not that it's not there. The problem is that we must draw near to him, so we have to learn to understand how to make it come about, how to bring it from the promises. God's not going to back off on his promises. Our problem is we don't know how to appropriate his promises. We don't know how to relate to him in such a way, in the way he set it up for it to happen. That's why, really, the responsibility from that point is on us to do that. We have to study to show ourselves approved. We have to know. We have to follow what God wants through the love that he sent us in the form of Christ. And then planting a portion of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, in us. Oh, my friend, you're not alone. You're occupied. Recognize the occupation of the Spirit of God. And let that Spirit flow through you. Let the peace of God overflow in you. And nothing can defeat you. Well, that's my message for this session. I hope I've said something that has perked your interest, caused you to see or understand something in a way that you'd not prior to this. I want you to know we love you and we care about you. Come on to our website at sojournershub.org. Send us an email. Let us know you're there. Let us know that you want prayer if you want prayer, and we'll pray for you. If you need to find a fellowship, we'll help you find one. If you can't find one and there's not one near you, perhaps we can help establish one. But whatever, make sure you're with people who believe in the power of the Holy Spirit and in the whole Bible, as God has seen to it that it has come down to us through the ages. So, my friends, pray this prayer with me now. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for Jesus. And thank you for your Holy Spirit. We praise you and we worship you. We look to your word and we look to Revelation, that you would show us and guide us and help us to understand exactly what you've done for us, are doing for us now, and what it is your desire to do for us in the future, and what we need to do to fulfill your desire in and through us. We praise you, Lord, and we thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you're not a believer, you just go to the throne and you tell the Father that you want to accept Christ, that you want Jesus to be Lord of your life and your Savior. Get into the Word and do as I said before. Get on our website, contact us. We'll be of any help that we can to you. We want you to have a wonderful life, the same wonderful life that Jesus came to restore all things to the way they were before sin entered the world. So this is a sojourner, and I say, the blessings of our Lord on you and all that is yours, by blood, adoption, or assignment, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Until next time.